Lord God, please let all that I say come from you through me and out to others. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today is Good Shepherd Sunday, and all of the scriptures this morning seem to be talking about being led and protected, having hope, taking comfort in the shepherd who leads us. Psalm 23 is all about the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I shall fear no evil, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The epistle mirrors and reinforces the psalm. It says, they will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. Our gospel story opens at Hanukkah, the festival of lights. And that festival rejoices at the reclaiming of Jerusalem. The irony about this joyous festival is that the talk around Jesus is anything but joyous. And I think it's funny that during the festival of lights, here we have the light of the world literally walking around the temple, unrecognized by the critics, who are asking loaded political questions. Remember, they're under occupation here. So here's Jesus walking around the south portico of the temple. Now, it's important to note that this is a place where the kings would go to sit in judgment. And here's Jesus, the king of the Jews. And in the gospel, the chief priests come and they ask him this: how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answers them and he says, the works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And I imagine the chief priest standing there looking at Jesus after he's given this answer and saying something like, again with the metaphors. Seriously, just a plain answer, please. But how do you describe the undescribable, the incomprehensible? What can you say when there are no words that are adequately going to convey either what you feel or what you've experienced? We've all been in this dilemma. We begin to try to talk about God, and we almost immediately run into trouble because there is no straight answer about God. There's no logical, rational, provable way to convince another person that there is a God. And if you do encounter anyone who is speaking with unequivocal certainty about God, it's kind of a sure sign that they're probably not talking about God. Started thinking, plain language. What plain language could Jesus have used to answer the question? If I am the Messiah, then they would ask him, when does the mass murder of the Romans begin, and when will their exodus be, and can I get a seat on the parade route? And when you come into power, could I have a job in your court? I'm a chief priest, after all. If I were Jesus and I had to answer them, I think I might have said something like this: I am here to save you, but not from the Romans. I'm here to save you from yourselves. Like Thomas a few weeks ago, Thomas said that he would not believe until he saw. I think Jesus knew that in the case with these chief priests, that he thought that the priests would not see until they believed. Question for us today is, who are we following? As a church, I have to ask if we're acting with a flock mentality, one where we gather together for safety and security. I wanted to define what that meant a little more clearly, because I spent way too much time looking up sheep in preparation for this sermon. Do you know there are dozens of websites full of sheep information? Sheep facts. What I did learn is that sheep aren't quite as dumb as we thought they were. But sure, they will follow each other off a cliff. If one sheep jumps off the cliff, the rest of them will follow. And I thought, yeah, and so will humans. Because I'll tell you what, people will believe leaders and follow them off a cliff, dive off a cliff together, if they are told that it's in their best interest, or if it will make them rich, or handsome, or smart, or powerful, or cleanse the population. Whatever earthly treasure it is that we seek in any given moment, people will get behind a myriad of bad ideas. So sheep and people both need to be led. But unlike the selective hearing that people have, something really cool about sheep. Sheep have excellent hearing. In fact, they are able to distinguish between the individual voices of the shepherds leading them. And what that means is sheep have perfect pitch. Sheep have perfect pitch. Something I think the choir would absolutely love to have. The point here, really, okay, some of you have it. The point here is that we need to tune our ears to follow the examples of how to live our lives as Christ lived. Loving, caring, feeding, giving, helping, supportive examples. You can go your own way and go off on your own away from the flock. But I'll tell you what, the risk in that is holiness. No, let me try that again. The risk in that is loneliness. And being devoured by predators. And I'll tell you what I call those predators, the seven deadly sins. So we need to learn to listen to Jesus. So often I think we experience the divine through each other, so I think that means that we need to learn to listen to each other, learn to talk to one another so that we can really hear. And then we need to consider our response and respond in love, as we're called to do. This has happened to me. It's a hard thing to learn, but you can learn it. Too often I think that we make assumptions about each other based on our experience, based on our human nature. And we often are thinking of a response to a question before someone has even finished asking the question. Processing time is really important in responding if we truly want to respond in a Christ-like manner with love. I've quoted from him before, but Viktor E. Frankl was an Austrian psychiatrist as well as a Holocaust survivor. He wrote a book called From Death Camps to Existentialism. Thank goodness he had a marketing team. They changed the name of the book. So in his retitled book, Man's Search for Meaning, what Frankl says is so important. He says this: between stimulus and response, there's a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. In that little space, in that space between stimulus and response, is our ability to choose. It's a moment when we get to decide how we are going to answer the call to follow the Good Shepherd. Our space to take a breath, to pause, to think about how to respond, to think about how Jesus is leading us to respond. In that space is our opportunity to be obedient to Jesus' call to love one another and to honor and respect all people. I'm going to tell you a story, and the point of it is this. Sometimes, even when we are speaking the same language, there are outside factors and influences that cloud our understanding. And unless we take the time to clarify and to process, we can respond in ways that distance us from Jesus and that distance us from each other. We need to tune our ears to the other. Situational awareness is really important. Awareness of who we are and where we are can help us remove our filters and hear each other clearly. The good news is that we can learn to be more active listeners. It takes some time, but we can learn to listen better to one another. So many decades ago, I did some work for an airline called Air Caribe, and I did a trade for them. In lieu of payment, Sylvia and I got to take off and go to the Caribbean for a wonderful vacation. This was fantastic. We went to St. Martin's, and then we were going to spend about 4 days on the island of Dominica. Now, not the Dominican Republic, Dominica. The only way you'd probably even know where that is that the Pirates of the Caribbean was filmed there a few years ago. Okay, it's a little island. It's wonderful. It's gorgeous, beautiful, full of fresh water. And we spent day one, day two, day three, fabulous, and the airline became insolvent and went out of business. So now we have to figure out how to get off the island. Will they come back into business? We're stuck on an island. It's great to be stuck in paradise, but we've got to go home. Day four, we find out. I said, all right, look, we're just going to buy a ticket on the other airline, and we'll get one of these boats out of here. And they say, in order to buy a ticket, you must have a round-trip ticket already purchased, or you have to go file a tax return. I said, I have to file a tax return to buy a ticket on a boat? Yeah, a lot of people come here, make money, and leave without paying taxes. So if you don't have a return ticket, you have to go file a tax return. By the time we got there, the tax office was closed. And the next day, the tax office was closed. So we're still stuck on the island. Come day six, finally, somebody put some money in and the planes start flying again, but we are nowhere near the top of the list. There are a lot of other passengers who had tickets who still needed to fly. So we are waiting day six. We are waiting day seven. Finally, there's a break. They tell us there's going to be seats on the airplane, and we get down to the airport. We are ready. We are packed. We've done the whole thing with the passports. Everything we've done, showed the ID, got our bags over to where they're supposed to be, and the only thing standing between us and that door to home is just one agent who's got a few questions before we get on the airplane. Don't forget, this is an international flight. So I get up there, and I have got my ears tuned pretty well to the island accent, but I'm up there, and I just can't wait, and I'm thinking, I can't wait to get home, I can't wait to get home. And so he says, hey, man, you get out today? I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to get home. Okay, I just got a few questions. I'm like, okay, great. He goes, okay. What did you, by the way? I said, I'm sorry. I said, I speak English. I mean, I don't know if I don't look American. I speak English. Could you ask me in English? Yeah, man. I'm asking you in English. What did you, by the way? Okay. I have no idea what he has said. And I said, could you ask me slower, please? Trying to get some clarification. But it, by the way. Okay, this is no help to me. And I'm thinking, all right, any minute, I am going to see Rod Serling from The Twilight Zone here. Jamie and Sylvia trapped on an island for 7 days. They just need to answer a question or they're trapped here forever. You know, you've entered The Twilight Zone. So I said, I am so sorry. Please, one more time, ask me again. Man, I've been asking you in English. What did you, buddy, way? What did you, buddy, way? I'm like, you know, buddy, way. What did your buddy, way? What does my body weigh? Oh, okay. Okay, I get it now. It's one of these little 9-seater planes. They need to know how much I weigh so they know where to sit me. The second question was a piece of cake. What does your friend, buddy, way? Good. So I tell him what Sylvia weighs, and we're on the way out the door. Kind of the point is, we need to tune our ears. We need to be aware of what's going on around us, because sometimes even in the same language, we don't talk to each other, and we need to take the time to process in that space, to respond with love to one another. In this life, I think that we all want to be happy, but maybe our lives aren't about achieving a happy ending. I think that we're already promised that in an eternal life in Christ. Our lives are an adventure story about the journey here on earth. And I think that it's a journey being led by the Good Shepherd. The destination that the Shepherd has in mind, it's a green and eternal pasture where we're promised life in Christ. Perhaps our lives are about the journey and the difference between an ordinary journey and an extraordinary journey is about the direction we take and the people that we travel with. Happiness is a direction. It's not a destination. And who we follow matters. So follow the truth. Follow the life. Follow the way. And when you hear the shepherd's voice, answer the call to join the flock. Because the road less traveled does not need to remain a dirt path. And I think that if enough of us take it, it will widen and open in places that are going to allow us to include the whole world. Amen.